Episode 101 of Outlander Cast is brought to you by BarkBox. For a free extra month of BarkBox, visit BarkBox.com/OutlanderCast when you subscribe for a 6 or 12-month plan.
I'm afraid this is all a mistake. I'm just not sure if we belong together anymore.
How can you say that?
I had a life. We both had lives. And families. It wasn't the plan, but I didn't hate Boston. I had a career, a home, friends. And you had your print shop in Edinburgh. It wasn't so bad, really, was it?
Being a printer was not compared to being your husband.
For 20 years, I was haunted by the memory of you. And when I found out you were alive, But ever since I've arrived back, it's been so much harder than I could ever have imagined.
When has it ever been easy? But I apologized for it. I've done all I can to make it right. You belong with me. We're mated for life, Sazenac. Will you risk the man I am for the sake of the one you once knew?
All the way from Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Starz. Hello, 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 fellow Sazenacs. My name's Mary Larson, and I'm your host.
My name's Blake, and I don't want to, you know, pat myself on the back. I don't. But I think I'm going to. I think I'm going to because this guy with the two thumbs over here totally called leg hair. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, let's just get this one right off at the start. Why not?
Bam! Just like that. A winner!
So if this is your first episode of Outlander Cast, hi, welcome. I'm a book reader, and Blake isn't. And at the end of each episode, he gives us his outlandish theory of the week.
And when I'm right, which is more often than not, I get the prices right,
though. We need to get a tally.
I think we should take a tally.
You actually have done quite well so far this season.
Listen, I called Willie.
You know what? It's all the trailer's faults. No. Oh, please.
Leg hair was not the trailer's fault. Okay. I called that because I'm a sicko.
Okay. So congratulations. You called that he would be married to Leary.
I got some other ones in here too, but I'm gonna save those for later. Okay. I'm gonna save those outlandish theories, the correct ones for later. So
all right.
I just want to get that because I'm most proud of that one.
Yeah.
So my darling. Yes. What'd you think? What's your kilt rating?
It's a big old five.
A big five. Wow. Okay.
I had so much fun. I had so much fun. I laughed. I cried. I said, ouch. I do not ever want to be on Jenny Murray's bad side.
No.
Like, you know, I can handle people who, I don't know. I can't really handle
hate
many
is going to hate, man.
Yeah, she, oof. Watch out for that tongue.
And whip, it's like that super passive aggressive hate too. Like, oh my God, she's. You get shivers down your spine when she just like looks at you.
I think she actually was a character in Mean Girls. on Wednesdays We Wear Pink, and she just was able to give all of that snarky sass and cut people down.
Oh my God.
What an amazing. Oh yeah. So nonetheless. Okay. Like, five. How about you?
4.7. 4.7 kilts. Really enjoyed this episode. I have some problems with it. I got some issues that I want to talk through. This is our therapy. But for the most part, I liked this episode a lot. In fact, I wouldn't say I liked this more than A. Malcolm. I really liked A. Malcolm.
Okay.
But this is probably the second best one, you know, after the first few episodes. Like, the first three episodes were just fantastic. Mm-hmm. A. Malcolm was also fantastic. I think this is like the next step. This is like on par with Freedom and Whiskey, I feel like.
Okay.
So that's the rubric we're going with here. I think it deserves to be right in that slot. My love, for you, what do you got for your GBG? What's your good, bad, great?
All right. Let me pull it up. I took my little notes. Okay. My good was the Hogmanay scene.
Oh, okay. I like this.
I love Christmas. I love evergreen. I love figs. I love all that kind of stuff. I wish I could be there dancing, doing a little jig, dancing around to Bear McCreary's music, eating that luscious stuff. I loved how the scene was set. I loved the voiceover, believe it or not, from Jamie.
It wasn't a voiceover necessarily. It was more like just it was a narration. That's different. That's different.
Okay. I was down with it too. I loved the girls coming over, and that was the first time he smiled. I was just down with that whole scene.
Totally agree.
Gave me all the feels, and also reminded me of A Christmas Carol. Mm-hmm. And I'm wearing a Christmas sweater right now.
You are.
It was November 6th. Okay, my bad. Jamie is officially the worst babysitter ever. Now, those of you who have caught up on Stranger Things Season 2, I'm not giving away a spoiler, but let me tell you, one of the best babysitters ever is Steve.
Yep.
He's a crummy boyfriend, but he's a great babysitter. And then you, like, that was literally a line in the show. And then you go to this, and it's like Jamie being like, oh, I showed him the world. Yeah, whatevs. Kind of got him in trouble. It's okay. You can totally trust him with me. Hey, go in these, like, death icy waters. Mm-hmm. He's a really good swimmer. And then I'm going to not look at him while I'm talking to my wife, mm-hmm. you know, while
not,
this,
not worry about it.
You're not worried at all. And then I'm going to lose him.
He's going to be, now I can't
worst
do anything about it.
Babysitter ever. Jamie Fraser, you are many things, my friend, but you are not a good babysitter. Am I great? Yep. Is Jenny Sharp Tongue?
Oh man, she's great.
Oh, the icy glares, but those words, those sentences that, mm-hmm. and she had multiple.
Oh yeah.
Multiple. Like one of my favorite moments was when Claire came down after, you know, I think 200 children ran through. Might be 201. So Claire comes down, kids are running around, lots of them. And, you know, she says something to Jenny, like, wow, there's so many kids. And Jenny's just kind of like looking around because she can't even make eye contact.
Doesn't want to.
And then she's like, oh yeah, even the babies have babies or whatever. And Margaret and Claire's like, wow, isn't that so weird? And Jenny's like, that's what happens in 20 years.
Yeah.
And I was just like, boom, boom, boom. Like everywhere you went, she was like throwing shade.
The other hip check that she gave that I really liked too was when she's like, oh yeah, I wouldn't want to scare the baby with a strange face. Like, oh yeah. Like,
yes.
Daggers coming out of her mouth.
So many.
Out of her eyes, out of her nose, out of her mouth.
Oh, it was great.
Just daggers everywhere. All the daggers.
All about Jenny Murray in this episode. Oh. I freaking loved every instance.
And I want to piggyback on what you said. I found that this episode was important, yes, because of the Jamie and Claire thing and how they're coming back together and they're finding their way to each other. But more importantly, it was Jenny and Claire's relationship that
yes.
If it was not, you know, plot B, it was at least plot A, 1A.
I'm finding that it's plot A. I will tell you, I am all about Jenny in this episode.
Oh,
this
yeah.
This is it. We're going to get more into this. Tell me your GBG.
Okay, my good. Actually, my GBG, the whole thing, the good, bad, great, is just one thing.
Okay.
One thing. It's all one. It's the end.
Bring it on.
Okay?
The end, meaning like the swimming to the island?
The whole scenario, the whole final scene, it was good and it was bad and it was great. Okay. The good was this, that final moment of doubt from Claire.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Was this a bad idea?
Like Claire, you remember how in earlier episodes I was talking about how Claire doesn't have consequences for her choices?
Yep.
She finally has a consequence.
She's like, oh,
maybe this wasn't a good idea. And she came to it herself, and she is given a choice. Do I stay or do I go?
Yep.
Should I stay or should I go now? Right?
Yeah.
And clearly, Claire makes a choice. She says, I'm going. But stuff happens. Stuff prevents her from leaving, right? Mm-hmm. Which is plot, but whatever. That's fine. What I'm saying is, Claire finally has consequences. There's finally drama to this choice that she's made. And I'm so happy. I'm so happy that Claire has this moment of like, I had a life. I had Brianna. I had Boston. I had a career. I didn't hate Boston. It wasn't the plan, but you know what? It was pretty good. Mm-hmm. What am I doing here? And you can feel for her. You can relate to that as she's saying it. Now the bad. It deals directly with this, which is, well. First, let me say this. The show, the episode, for the third week in a row, maybe four, third week in a row at the least, ends on an emotionally manipulative cliffhanger. And I hate that.
Stay tuned.
I hate that because it's a gimmick, and it's only there to be like, ooh, wait till next week, guys. Like,
that's how the chapters were.
And I'm not saying that, you know, but it's just emotionally gimmicky, especially after coming off of this great emotional.
Or should they have ended it?
I don't. Well, I'll get into that.
Okay.
I'll get into that.
Because I think they ended it in a fine place.
I'll get into that. But the real bad is, again, what happens at the end, and it's directly related to the good, which is Jamie in this episode, and I don't want to say so far this season, but Jamie isn't paying for his mistakes. Mm-hmm. He isn't. He's not taken to task for his mistakes, much like how I felt Claire wasn't taken to task for her choice to leave Brianna. Mm-hmm. I feel like Jamie, like each time there's like this really good meaty piece of drama that Jamie has gotten himself into, whether it was lying to Ian's parents, and he gets called out by Jenny. Or when we find out about leg hair, she comes in and
we can call her Larry.
Okay. No, I'm going to call her leg hair because that's what I've been doing. and then Claire decides finally, hey, I don't think this is good. I think we're not meant to be together. And she's about to walk away. But each one of those instances, something of the plot undercuts the emotionality of that moment. And it makes us kind of forgive Jamie. And it kind of puts it off, like, hey, look over here. Oh, wait, never mind, sorry, look over here. Before you get too mad at Jamie, look over here. And it perfectly encapsulated by this real meaty moment of Claire saying, I don't know what we're doing here. Can we actually do this? And, you know, he turns the charm on. Would you, you know, try to be with me as the man I am for the sake of, you know, whatever I was or whatever. And then he, like, touches her chin and everything.
And he's like, do you remember the pack you just operated on?
Yeah, I know.
Do you remember it? You saved it.
And then all of a sudden, before Claire can make a choice, before she can walk away or do what she needs to do for her, it's, oh my God, a ship comes out of nowhere.
Dun, dun, dun.
And young Ian, sorry, commandment number four, wee Ian.
There you go.
Can't get away. Like, I think that. But the great was the shot, the direction. The direction of this entire scene, really. And what I mean by that is seeing Jamie and Claire up on the cliff. They are, you know, on their high ground looking down at Ian. There's literally an ocean separates them. We know the depth. We know how far away it is. And then they get into the conversation between the two. And as far away as we were before on the cliff, now we are that much closer to their faces. The negative space use in each of these scenes as they're talking is gorgeous. It shows you that they are finally alone, that they are together, and they only have each other to talk to at this point. And that use of negative space is emblematic of that. But the coup de grace is when Ian finally gets captured, and you see Claire and Jamie. They've now come down off of their high ground. They are on the beach, and the shot pans out. Mm. We are ripping away from them, and the story is now going into the ocean. And there's this massive wide shot as we see our title couple become inches big, and we realize the story is not only going into the ocean, but it's getting much bigger.
That's right. Now.
It's getting much, much bigger. And that is beautiful visual storytelling. And that was all Jennifer Getzinger, who was the director of this episode. She is amazing. She's amazing. I loved this scene. So the listeners, what do you got for the listeners, my darling?
Chrissy Malay, Austria, gave it 5 kilts. The great was everything. Everything Jenny, a.k.a. Laura Donnelly from The Brock. Jenny from The Brock. Need I say more? Leary Nell Hudson was very good. You can sympathize with her and hate her at the same time. Marcely and Joan were adorable. Ian, Stephen Cree, you know, wicked old Ian, was so endearing. Sam and Kat were fantastic as always. That argument, as real as married couples go. It was great to see Ned Gowan again. Sorely missed character. She said there are no bads. And if you were Claire, how would you explain your return to Jenny? Well, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, Chrissy.
There we go. Megan Rose Payer says 5 kilts. This episode is a perfect example of how sometimes TV can make a plot line even better from necessity. I loved how they streamlined the aftermath and cut out Claire running away. I loved that Jenny asked obvious questions that the book Jenny never does. And I loved that Hogmanay flashback and the Seal Island one too.
The Selkies.
The girls were perfect. Yes. Loved the scene with young Janet and Ian.
Yes.
So cute. Thank you, by the way. Commandment number 4. Not young Janet. Not young Ian. Never mind. Sorry, Megan. Come on. Can't say young Ian anymore. It's we Ian.
She just said Ian. She
said young Janet and
Ian.
Because
that's little Janet. That's Janet Jr.
Yeah, I know, but she's... Yeah, okay. And the bad...
She was like my favorite young actor.
She was cute.
She's so good.
And the bad. They almost made those girls too likable. I feel bad for them. At least Marcely still gets to have Jamie as her dad, but not adorable Joan. I also don't like that she doesn't answer Jamie at the end. When are they even going to have time to fit in an answer with the adventures to come? And my darling, what do you got for the last one?
Sandy Campbell said, one thing that's been kind of bothering me about this episode, what exactly did Jamie lie about? Claire started to ask him about the other ties, one time in particular, but she never gave him an opportunity to answer. She actually cut him off and said they didn't need to discuss everything right away, and then asked if he ever fell in love with anyone else, to which he honestly responded that he had not loved anyone but her. Could he have told her sooner? Absolutely. But did he actually lie about it? I'm going to say no. He was afraid to tell her with obvious good reasons. And let's be honest, if it had been literally any other woman on the planet, I think it would have been less of a problem. But since it was Psycho Leary, well, all reason understandably goes out the window for Claire. So part of me doesn't actually fault him for not being able to tell her sooner. But never once did he lie about Claire being his only love. And isn't that the most important thing? You know, Sandy, this is something I've battled with in this episode as well. I'm like, Claire, he didn't lie. He didn't lie. Right. You didn't say, did you marry anybody else? You know, all those kind of things. And you could tell that he was trying to bring up before. So tell me, Claire, what is the difference between this being a secret? Like, it bothered me. That line bothered me. Yes, we get it. There's no lies. But he didn't love Leary. He didn't love anybody else. Now, does that mean that Claire shouldn't be freaking mad as a hornet? Heck no! I am so with Claire on this. You know, you should have told me, but I wouldn't have necessarily said those words because I, too, don't think Jamie lied. I think he was keeping it a little secret and waiting for the right time because he was like, oh, remember that girl who tried to have you killed as a bitch? Yeah.
Well, here's the question, and an honest and fair question. Is withholding lying?
The white lie thing? Is that what a white lie is? No, white lie is when you like twist the truth, right?
Well, the white lie is inconsequential. It's, I don't know. A white lie is inconsequential, really. It's just something that is there. But is withholding information the same as lying to someone?
Listen, here's what I'm going to tell you, and I'm probably going to get a lot of flack for this.
Okay, what do you got?
Jamie Fraser is one big freaking liar. right now. Season 3, King of Men, not so more. Liar.
Yes, I would say there's been some lying and withholding going on.
We need that woman from The Princess Bride. Liar! Liar! That is what he's doing left and right to the people that he loves the most. It kills me. What was this?
Oh, sorry. I thought we were moving on.
I was just talking about The Princess Bride. No, it's fine. It's fine. We're coasting.
You want to keep going?
Tell me about this episode.
Episode title. Sorry. I didn't mean to jump the gun on you. I thought you were done. I apologize.
No, I just need to...
You want to get it out again?
No.
Just do it again.
No, I don't.
Liar!
You can find the sound clip. Okay.
Episode title was First Wife, as we all know. Little on the nose there, but I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that. Written by Joy Blake. She has done one episode this year. She is one of the new writers and producers that were brought in to Outlander this year after the departure of Ira Stephen Bear. She's written on shows like The Ghost Whisperer, Criminal Minds, Suspect Behavior, Matador, and Robert Kirkman's other show. You know who Robert Kirkman is, my darling?
No.
He's the creator of The Walking Dead, a comic book. He's a producer on The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Robert Kirkman actually has another show called Outcast. It's on Cinemax, and she is was a writer on that show as well. And I will say, Miss Joy Blake... did a pretty good job this episode, and we'll get into that. This was, again, directed by Jennifer Getzinger. She also did episode 302, Surrender. She has directed the likes of Mad Men, How to Get Away with Murder, Agent Carter, Manhattan, The Return, Masters of Sex, The Killing, Hung, many, many, many TV shows. And she's actually been nominated for a DGA Television Directors Guild Award. For her work on Mad Men a couple of times. So she knows what she's doing. She's pretty excellent at her job.
Sounds like it.
And the director of photography, as always, is a friend of the show, Steve McNutt. And you can tell, again, and we'll get into that as well. My darling, you're the boss. How are we doing this today? What do you want to do?
I'm digging deep.
Okay. Let's get the shovels out. Let's dig. Where do you want to start?
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Are we going to keep... Liar! Are you happy with Jamie? Are you unhappy with Jamie? Do you feel like he's being fair to Claire? Or do you feel like he's putting her in a spot?
It's not even Claire. So here's the thing. Is it the Leary thing that pisses me off the most? Actually, no. It's reminding me that Jamie has been lying to his sister and to his brother-in-law about Wee Ian.
Oh, no. Commandment number 4. Can't say. Oh, I keep forgetting. Crap.
Wee.
No, Wee is right. Young is bad.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I've been really upset with that. And, you know, he does have that moment. You know, you're talking about the Jamie Fraser charm. And he does that with wicked old Ian. So when Wee Ian is like, this is a boy's job. This is stinky. Like he's pouting.
This is stinky.
This is stinky. And young Janet, who, be still my heart, you are my favorite character, new character.
Busting balls.
Oh my God, I just love her. I want to see her all the time. You know, wicked old Ian's there. And Jamie's like, see, sometimes you don't have to give him a thrashing. And hey, by the way, I'm sorry. And he like shines his pearly whites. Because remember, Claire told him to take care of his teeth. Shines his pearly whites. And all of a sudden, Ian just goes,
I know. And that's my point. Like, that's my point.
And like, Ian falls for it too. Just like all of us.
That's only because he loves you so, Jamie. No, don't.
Does. That's what I'm saying, is that like everybody does. And it bothered me, but I get it, but it bothered me. And, you know.
Before we have time to get mad at Jamie, before we have time to see things and dig into this real conflict, wicked old Ian's like, yeah, it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's
I
fine.
Know. So sweet. I love wicked old Ian. I just love him. So I just needed to get that off my chest that Jamie lying to his sister and his brother-in-law really has bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
It's bothered me a heck of a lot. And, you know, this is a young man. you know, I just, he didn't even tell them. I mean, he could have like white lied and said, I'm going to teach him the trade, guys. Mm-hmm. I don't know where, I know Ashley had written it in the live blog. Where is that boy really sleeping? Because Jamie says he sleeps at the print shop sometimes, but he's also sleeping at the brothel. So where is that little boy sleeping? Where is he sleep?
He's banging waitresses left and right.
No.
Or did just that one?
No,
sorry,
that didn't count.
It counted. We already had this conversation last episode.
I don't think
episode.
It counted. I know you do. So I just need to get that off my chest. And when it comes to Claire, they've only been together for a couple of days and they've had a few fiascos. And he's just been trying to find the time and place to tell her. So that's something I can appreciate because I myself, as a spouse, I know when I have to talk to Blake about something very serious, I like to make sure that we're out in public so he can't get upset. And make sure there's food and drink. And I think that's what Jamie was waiting for. He was probably waiting for, like, you know, to go take her out to a little inn somewhere and be like, so after she's been Sassenach wasted, so here's the thing. I fell in love with these two little bairns, okay? They're not actually little, these little girls. I fell in love with them because he did. Oh.
Yeah.
He did.
Did he fall in love with them as much as he kind of felt bad for them? Like, because they didn't have a dad.
I think he, I mean, he's now been their daddy for a while. I think he loves these girls. I don't think it's, I feel bad for you. Like, you poor little thing, I'll scoop you up. No, I think he fell for these girls. He had just that pure child innocence.
Or is it more like they represent everything that he wanted yet couldn't have?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Because there's a difference there. If they represent something that he doesn't have, as opposed to falling in love with them, I mean, there's a difference there. Do you know what I mean?
No, I think he genuinely loves those girls. And I think that they gave him something that he hasn't been able to have. He hasn't been able to raise kids. These daughters love him. They call him daddy. You can sometimes get some stepchildren who don't love you, and they love him.
Yes.
So I think it's something that it reminded me a little bit of, you know, how sometimes there's curmudgeon-y people, but a kid can make them smile, or an animal can make them smile. It's just like that childlike innocence of a pet or a child. So they really can make some people's shells crack.
Sure.
And I love that that's what happened for Jamie, but I don't think that he should have been such a liar, pants on fire.
I agree with you, and I feel like the way that they explained his love of these girls, and even how he kind of talked himself into being with Leghair, it made sense to me. I mean, if you think about it, he was Cave Jamie for a while, and then
This is 18 years later.
Right, that's what I'm saying. He was Cave Jamie for a while, and then he went to prison, and then he was at Hellwater, had a son, lost the son, lost Claire way back when, doesn't have Brianna, has all of these things going on, and then he sees these girls, the girls who finally make him smile. He finally has something.
I think he heard that song, "You Can't Always Get What You Want, But If You Try Sometimes,
You Get What You Need."
Yeah.
Thank you, Rolling Stones.
And he was like, I think that's what was actually that the fiddler was playing. And he was like, oh, okay, Mary McNabb's gone. Where'd she go?
Yeah.
She would have been really nice. She would have been a great wife.
Right. And did you notice, too, Jennifer Getzinger, another amazing job during this flashback scene. Even though it was a slow motion, was a little bit, you know, forced. But you know what? I'm okay with that. But if you notice, she kept the camera a lot on Jenny's eyes and how Jenny was reacting to Jamie as he's dancing and everything.
Yes.
And that is where the narration from Jamie comes in. Again, distinct difference. Narration versus voiceover. Voiceover is trying to tell you something that you can't see. Narration is someone telling a story.
Yeah, he's telling Claire.
To pictures. And you're just getting the benefit of seeing it at that moment. When you couple that with the narration and focusing in on Jenny and him saying, you know, Jenny really tried to make this work for me and she really wanted me to make the match. And you can see how he could convince himself looking over to seeing Leghair, you know what? I don't know where Claire is. It's been 18 years, whatever it is. I need to move forward with my life. My sister thinks this is a good idea. I finally have some kind of joy in my life. Maybe this will work, right? I really appreciated this scene. I mean, you could talk about the first flashback all you want, and you can question, in my opinion, the first flashback with him, of Jamie, you know, swimming to the island and going through the castle and realizing that Claire wasn't there. Did you really, really, truly need that flashback?
I did.
I don't know. I mean, it didn't really add anything to the plot.
I think it's about the girls.
No. Not that one. The other one. When he's swimming from.
Okay, sorry.
The first one. Right. Like the second one, the Hogmanay one. You totally need. You need to see it, and you need to see it because of how Sam Heughan acts it and how Laura Donnelly acts it, and even you need to see it through Jamie's eyes of. Like when they showed leg hair, it was kind of like this moment, like it was like serendipity almost. Like there was this warmth in the room, and there she is, and she looks over and she's smiling, and just and how it was blocked, how all of a sudden, you know, people step out of the way and it's like this big magical moment, and you can see how somebody would be like, wow, this magic moment.
Would you have preferred this Selkie's Island visit when it actually happened in the timeline of the show? So when Jamie escaped, remember when Jamie ran away, when all of his friends were there and they like had a distraction? That's
yes.
When Jamie went.
Oh, 100%. And you want to know why I would prefer it that way? Not necessarily because I would get the reveal of the treasure at that moment. But this would be like a Christopher Nolan type thing where he shows you one thing. Mm-hmm. Like if you saw Jamie swim over to the island and look for Claire and mm-hmm. be like, Claire, nothing. And then all of a sudden nothing happens. And he puts his head down, and then it goes to
nothing.
It goes to him, you know, taking Lord John Grey. You know what I mean? Remember how he came back and
he
covered him. If you showed that, and then you get the narration, and then you see this
extra part with the treasure,
extra part where
now it's at this point in
308. Okay. Now you see him with the reveal of the treasure. That because it's building on what you have seen before. Mm-hmm. And that is actually what this episode has done in my eyes to a T. Mm-hmm. And why I say that Joy Blake, you know, even though she's written some TV here that I wouldn't wholly be proud of, but she's built on things. And what I mean by that is this. She starts the episode off by Jamie saying, you know, treat the kid as a man, give him the freedom while he still thinks it's yours to give. Jamie says that, and later on, Jenny repeats it when she's convinced to let Wee Ian go, right? And then Claire says, oh, anytime I saw a bird and I heard bird song, I thought it was you talking to me, which builds back on her looking out the window to see the bird in Boston in 1960, whatever it was. Now we have a clear meaning to what that was at that moment. It's her thinking about Jamie in the bird song. Then Jamie talks about birds getting killed and the adult bird getting killed. Mm-hmm. So you have to wait for its mate. Otherwise, it'll grieve itself to death over its lost mate. And then it comes back at the end of the episode when Jamie says, we're mates for life.
Yes. Yes.
And then, not only that, Claire says, Jamie, we could have secrets, but we couldn't have lies. You told me that. Mm-hmm. That comes back off of...
The first season.
Everything is... Joy Blake built all of this stuff up only to have it come back. And that's when you know you have good writing. Because it rhymes. It makes sense within the context of the story. And which is why, in the end...
It's not just Joy Blake. It's someone called Diana.
But you know what I mean.
She's kind of a big deal.
Which is why I would loved to have seen them show Jamie in, you know, back in whatever episode it was, 303. I think it was All Debts Paid. When he escapes, and then it cuts off. And then you think, oh, that's just it. He didn't find Claire. He went back. But then you realize he also later on in 308 found that treasure. That would have been freaking awesome.
Yes.
So that's my thing with that.
Want to go into the next deep topic?
What do you got?
Why did Jenny get Leary?
Oh.
I mean, Like, that's like a deep, wonderful conversation that if you are listening, I want you to have this conversation with your Outlander friends this week. I want you to sit down and say,
well, let me,
would you do what Jenny did? Would you let's play devil's advocate. Let's pretend we're Jenny's lawyer. Why did Jenny call for Leary?
Well, like any good lawyer, I'm going to say, let me answer you by asking you this.
Okay.
Why do you think she called?
Oh, my God. Hey, that's not fine. You first.
I think Jenny, listen, this is why I love Jenny. Because Jenny has zero fucks. I mean, her fucks account is on overdraft.
Blake, watch your mouth.
Well, but I'm sorry. She don't give, she don't care nothing about anybody except her family.
Okay. Jenny is passionate about her family. Yes.
Yes.
She's protective. And I think how Claire worded it was very perfect. How she can be warm.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but also very cold. So, yep.
It's just steely cold. And again, this is why I love Jenny, because Claire was part of her family and then took off. And everybody has kind of just accepted her reasoning, Claire's reasoning. Oh, yeah, I went to the colonies and I came back and, hey, look at me. I'm back. I'm Claire. And Jenny's like, wait, you came. Where the hell you been? Family writes letters. Mm-hmm. Family lets us know that you're alive. The girl I knew would have mm-hmm. kept going for Jenny.
Yes. Yes.
Jenny's the only one who's acting in any sane manner.
Yes.
And Claire just, and the other favorite line that I liked from her was, and I remember you noted this, was, oh, you think we were frozen in time just waiting?
I wanted that to be the sound clip in
know
the beginning.
You did.
But I know you needed to pick this one, but that was like one of my favorites.
Right. That was really good. Again, great writing. Mm-hmm. She, and because of this, I feel like Jenny was like, listen, I'm going to put some sanity back into this situation here.
Sandy Candy?
No, it was some sanity.
Oh, I thought you said some Sandy, and I was like, why? Why do we need her back? Okay, continue.
My brother is married, and he's married to somebody else, and this woman has a right to know. And she's not wrong. Would I have done it? Probably not, but as wicked old Ian says, if there's a pot of shit to boil, you stir like it's God's work. She's a shit stirrer. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. It reminds me of someone I know.
I know.
Just throwing that out there. I don't know who that would be.
So ask me, why would I do that?
Why would you do that, my darling? Why would you be the chief shit stirrer?
Because Claire broke my heart.
Ah, so you pay back.
I am so mad at you for breaking my heart. Mm-hmm. I mourned you. I didn't even get to fully mourn you because my brother wouldn't even talk about you being dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had to make up a story in my mind. We waited for you.
Mm-hmm.
There was something special about you. I couldn't even ask. I don't even know everything about you from when we hung out, but we were close. And I don't get a lot of close people because I live on a farm and I never go anywhere. And I don't know where Mary McNabb went. I think she's still picking potatoes.
She just straight up disappeared.
My only friends are Mary McNabb and Leary and you. And I liked you best of all.
And you just left.
You were my favorite. And yeah. You left. Mm-hmm. And I mourned you and I was so sad and I was devastated. And Jenny Murray, who you never see, probably broke down all the flipping time.
Right.
Wicked old Ian probably heard her say prayers all the time about Claire. Please, Lord, bring Claire back. Please let us find out something about Claire. Please, 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 please. And now to find out that she was in the colonies? That somehow she left Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, left Scotland. Couldn't write a letter, couldn't send any word to this family, and for 20 years decided not to send word.
She's no nonsense. I like that about her. And given the information that she is privy to, it actually makes a whole lot of sense. Again, she's the only person who's kind of like, wait, that shit don't make sense. What are mm-hmm. you talking about?
You keep smiling.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I don't mean to. I'm just, Jenny gets me all worked up. But we all know that there's more going on with Claire here than what Jenny knows, which begs the question, my love. If you're clear, do you tell Jenny the truth?
Yep.
Okay, why do you tell her the truth?
So this is something that, like, really, it didn't bother me when I read the books. Didn't bother me.
What do you mean?
That they wouldn't tell Jenny and Ian. It didn't bother me this way. And because I'm sitting there saying Jenny is brokenhearted, Jenny is being confronted with a ghost that's actually alive, and she thought it was a ghost, and this Jenny needs all the copays right now. She is not doing too well. Okay. She is all sorts of mad and protective. And even when she's upset and Ian says that to her, you know, like, you're the only one freaking out. What's going on? Mm-hmm. Chill out. Everyone's okay. Everyone is okay. They're gonna figure it out, girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Claire loves Jenny. Claire loves very few people. Okay. Claire, sure. Even though Claire's like, I left all these friends, Claire had like two friends. Okay. She had Dr. Joe and I don't know who else. Roger. Okay.
Well, she had Brianna, obviously.
But Bri was her daughter. That's true. Okay. Claire, yes. Claire probably had a great circle of friends, but Claire didn't have a lot of people who were this close to her. And Jenny was one of those few people who Claire got very close to. And it breaks my heart in this episode watching it when Claire doesn't tell Jenny. I mean, because Claire is not a liar this season. Yes, she was in season two. Whatever. They were trying to save Scotland. It is okay to lie then, Jamie. Do not try to make this seem the same thing. Claire wants to tell her so badly. Mm-hmm. And Jamie's like, no, she won't get it. She won't get it.
Which makes sense, though. I mean, I get that, too, because remember, I like that line. Was like, trying to tell her this is like trying to tell her that you're a mermaid. Like, she's never even left this.
Yeah, but I want to say, like, so what? You went to France. What? Like, hoity-toity. Like, I loved how he was throwing around France. Like, Ian, you and I went to France. He totally needs to go to France. Like, do you think that that makes you a world traveler? You understand time travel. You can handle all of this, James
right.
Fraser.
Yep.
What makes you think that Jenny Murray, who literally has birthed 201 children in her lifetime, can't handle the fact that the woman who decided to say, hey, you need to grow potatoes out of nowhere, okay, is a time traveler? They believe in time travel in this country. Yeah, they believe in the fairies. Ian said we heard stories and we thought there were fairies and witches and all this kind of stuff. Tell her this, because you know what? You're in a country that believes this. So if she lives on a farm where they believe these things, like, it's not like, I don't know.
That's a very valid point. I hadn't thought about that in terms of Jenny's willingness to believe in that kind of superstition. Because the way that Jamie explains it, to me, it feels natural. It feels like, hey, she's never even left this.
Jamie's like, nobody gets it like I do, girl. And it's like, why? What?
And like, and I like how they kind of tried to address the Murtha thing when he's like, well, listen, we had to take that chance. Like, he had to know. And he was a man that walked around and he's been around this world. And like we took a chance and it worked out well. However,
it's like Jamie gets to pick who gets to know, and he thinks that his sister can't handle the truth.
I will say this, and it has nothing to do with the storyline as much as the show overall. The more that people know about Claire being from the future in the 1700s, the more ridiculous it kind of becomes, and the more that the people are in on it, and the easier it makes for Claire to navigate these murky waters. And I like the fact that they don't tell Jenny, because as much as I was sitting there watching it with you, my darling, and saying, look, gotta tell Jenny, gotta tell her. Making the choice to not tell her is the right choice for the story overall. Because now they have to figure out how to make things straight with everybody. Yes, they had to tell Murtha, but everybody else, nobody can know. And I like that because it's harder for them. And that's just an overall want for the show as opposed to, I really want Jenny to know because I really like her. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think it was really, again, Laura Donnelly, this woman never even knew who she was prior to Outlander. Freaking all-star.
Oh my gosh, seriously.
A total all-star. She was Dag is everywhere from her. And I think, oh, man, just so special. I could watch, if I could have like a buddy show with Claire and Jenny from The Brock, just like a spinoff, I would watch. If I could just have a Jenny from The Brock spinoff show, I would watch that constantly.
She'd be having a baby every episode.
Just pulling them out.
Claire would be doing surgery every other episode, because that's what I guess is happening in season three. I want to vomit. I'm done. I'm really done. And sadly, it's not going to stop.
Probably not.
I think that's why they're doing this. I think they're like, all right, we're going to weed out those who have, you know, weak stomachs. If you can't stand the surgery up to now, then you better turn off the show, because you ain't seen nothing yet.
I just want to say this. Bam! Just like that. A winner! Because I called it. I called that Claire was going to have to operate on Jamie in some form or way and use all the tools to save his life that she brought back from the 60s. Just want to throw that out there. Just very proud of that one.
Well, we're going to take a quick break to talk about today's sponsor. Once again, today's sponsor is BarkBox. It's a subscription-based program, you know, but for your dog or for someone who you know who has a dog who they love in their lives. And I absolutely adore this idea. Now listen, it's the holiday season. You might have a teacher of, you know, your kid's teacher. You might have a neighbor. You might have a sister, a husband, anybody. Oh my God. You know how you hate like buying a gift for yourself or your significant other at the holiday season? Mm-hmm. But your pets are part of your family. Those of you who know us, who are in the clan, we just lost a furry friend of ours, and our furry friends are our family, and you can indulge them in something very special any time of the year with BarkBox.
That's right, and BarkBox is great because it's their own products. They're made by BarkBox. They're personally tailored to the size of your dog, whether it's the organic treats or the cool toys that they make for your dog. And again, this is for anybody who... Dog people love their dogs, and we all know for babies and fur family, they're very special to us. But dog people love their dogs, and this is a perfect gift for someone. Even if you don't have one for yourself, you give that to somebody who loves that pet.
It's the gift that keeps on giving, not just this one month of the year.
Especially coming for Christmas, for like a guy like me, I don't know what to get people, but I do know some people love pets. I'm going to get this for them.
So you can visit BarkBox.com/Outlandercast to get a free extra month if you subscribe to a 6 or 12 month plan.
All right, my love, let's just get into this.
I thought we have been into this.
I want to get into this one because, and this is why Claire's choice at the end is, it's not made for her, but she finally has a choice and she's about to make one, and the plot prevents her from making the choice, which is deciding whether or not she and Jamie ought to be together. Now, we all know, right, that they're going to be together. There's no Outlander. There's no more 15,000 other books without these two staying together. So we know that they're going to. The idea is to give some drama to that choice. We may know that she's going to stay with Jamie, but her concerns are legitimate concerns. All of the sweet talk from mm-hmm. Jamie can't, in my opinion, after seeing where Claire is right now, it can't sway her. It can't say, it's okay, honey. Come on back here.
And oh my God, did you see that face?
She was, I mean, the only
when that
thing,
little red-haired girl came in.
Oh my God.
What?
And I was like, how many kids does this guy have? And luckily, they're not his kids. I appreciate that.
Not 201.
But at the end, she does have this choice. And she does say, maybe we shouldn't be together. It's real drama. And this is the beautiful thing that I think Outlander does. Because love, regardless if you're from 200 years in the future, 200 years in the past, if you're James Fraser, if you're Claire Randall Murray Fraser Malcolm, whatever the 40,000 names that we have so far for Claire.
She has a license like mine.
Mary's got 18 names on her license. Mary Catherine Earl Larson.
I booked a plane ticket today and they were like, so what's your middle name? And I was like, Catherine and Earl.
I have two.
It fit. Anyway. Yes.
Claire. Love is scary. And it's scary because you, as the person who are in a relationship, you have to give yourself to another person entirely, especially as it relates to the love that Claire and Jamie share. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to be insecure about that. It's okay to say, wait, you married leg hair? Wait, and he's talking about being with Frank and I could kill you for it. And those are all real emotions.
Yes.
It's a little melodramatic, but you can't tell. When Mary, the love of my life,
yep,
sitting across from me right now, I'm looking at her twirl her hair and it's so cute.
In thanks.
In her Christmas red Merry and Bright sweatshirt that's ugly as sin.
It's red with green glitter.
It's ugly as sin, but I'm looking at her and I cannot stand when she talks about an ex-boyfriend. Can't stand it. Hate it. Don't want anything to do with it.
Which one?
Any of them. Any of them. Now, I'm married to Mary. I've been married to my wife now for 7 years. I've been dating her. I've been with her for 10. I have 2 children with her. I'm pretty confident that she's my wife and she's going to remain my wife. But just the idea of her being with somebody else goes right up my ass. Even if it was before even knowing her.
You're such a potty mouth.
It just does. I'm sorry. I can't help it. So I get why Jamie is saying, yeah, I could just imagine you being with Frank and I just want to kill you for it because I want to kill Mary for being with somebody else even before she knew me.
Speaking of kill, okay.
Yeah.
That fight made me very uncomfortable.
Ooh, yeah. That's another thing I wanted to talk about too.
Like, I so
they
get it.
They get into the fight and the music. I'm sorry. You know what? Go ahead. You brought it up, please.
No, it just made me uncomfortable. I mean, a lot of people are like, yay, it's back to Jamie and Claire. But I'm like, oh, man, come on. It's been 20 years. Can you stop physically fighting? Can you stop grabbing her like that? That's going to leave a bruise. That's a hard grab. I don't know if she bruises as easily as I do. That would leave a bruise on me. And then he grabs her and he rigs her around. Then she slaps him. Yes. Is this the Jamie and Claire that we have seen before? Yes. And has it made me uncomfortable then too? Yes. You know, that's just not my cup of tea. But on the flip side, maybe they're into that. Okay.
Some people are into that.
Maybe they're into the little bit of slapping and spanking and whips. I don't really know. I don't really know, but it made me a little uncomfortable. That I was like, I will not be surprised if Katrina didn't have a little arm bruise.
I will say that when I first watched it, I was a little uncomfortable. But then the second time I watched it, I was like super uncomfortable. And I started thinking about it in the terms that I brought to you in terms of my bad. Jamie and Claire have this argument, and it's a big argument. It's probably the biggest argument that they've ever been in. And he's blaming her for going through the stones, and she discovers that he has another wife and these kids. And he tries to explain it, and he can't. And then he's like, I'm lying because I am a coward, and all great stuff. But then he forcibly kisses her. Like, and it's like supposed, and like the music turns up and it's light and it's a light mood and it's played off like it's cute. But considering when they just have this meaty conversation and you're not dealing with it, you're just moving on to the next thing. First of all, you're not making Jamie answer for what is going on necessarily. But also what's happening is, if you were to play this with any other two characters on this show, it would be like an assault. I mean, Jamie is whipping pots or vases around and breaking stuff.
Yeah.
And saying, you're not going to go anywhere. And he's grabbing her by the arm and throwing her on the bed and then kicking her off. And she's slapping him. And it's played off like this big joke. But he's like, I love you and I love nobody else. And they're kissing and they're fighting. She's saying, stop. It was uncomfortable.
Well, it was like back in season one when he had to spank her and take, you know, and it was like funny music.
But it wasn't funny.
No.
And it wasn't I hated that scene.
I wanted Claire in this show, in this episode, to knee him in the crotch. When he held her so close while he was grabbing her, I was like, girl, you know what to do. It's right there.
Right.
But then she did something else with it.
Yeah. Well, at least she tried. Until Jenny showed up.
Oh, my God.
And literally poured water on the situation.
That doused was amazing. We have laughed every time we've seen that.
I know. I loved that scene.
Once again, tally another one for Jenny, because she wins this episode hands down.
Oh, just great stuff. Great stuff. But I was uncomfortable in this scene. It would be considered assault, in my opinion, if another two characters were in this situation.
Correct.
Listen, I also want to bring up this too. Leg hair. Now, am I happy that I got the Outlandish Theory of the Week right? Of course I am.
Girlfriend needs some minutes with Mary.
She needs all the minutes with
Mary.
She
needs a little rose water.
You know
for
who
that,
had
for
all
the
minutes with Mary? Ned Gowan.
Ned Gowan. Oh my! You know, you want to know something about Ned Gowan?
What's that?
I think he's a time traveler.
Oh, he probably is.
I'm actually being sarcastic. I'm just saying, how are you still alive and how you look this good?
Right.
Are you using the same moisturizer as Claire? Gosh, that's why Jenny's mad at you, Claire. Because you don't look 20 years old. Okay, continue. Sorry.
The leg hair situation. Now, is it a little soapy for my taste? Yes. Is it a little soapy for my taste that she shows up with a gun out of nowhere, even though guns are banned?
Everybody obviously has one.
I know, but still, like, guns are banned. How is this little girl who has been twice widowed gonna have a gun? Like, I just, whatever. Whatevs, it is what it is.
She doesn't have a man at home with her. Jamie probably bought her the gun.
And the way that...
He probably bought it for her.
The way that it was played out on the scene, it was like she was in mid-sentence, and all of a sudden, as she's about to say another word, she pulls the trigger and shoots Jamie. Now, we all know that she didn't mean to kill Jamie. She probably meant to get at Claire. But just the way that it was done, it felt a little awkward to me. But
how about that push? That was awkward.
Oh, that was Claire. That was an awkward Claire forecheck, you know, like, you know, like, get out of my way. Don't shoot him.
Jamie, go away. What are you doing?
Like,
did you step on her foot?
It's just such a lame put. Like, she didn't use her. She just, like, shouldered her.
Well, after we had just seen, like, the full body stuff that we were just talking about before.
Yeah, she just kind of, like, bumps her.
Meh, and then Larry just, like, ran away. She was like, Claire's such a bully. She bumped me.
Here's the thing. The whole second family for Jamie, it just feels like a twist for the having a twist sake. I do understand the fact that Jamie tried to move on with his life, and I do appreciate that. And then when they finally get into some meaty, again, I use this term meaty, but I've been saying it a lot this episode. They get into some meaty stuff where leg hair, she has apparently been somewhat abused by another husband, and she's scared of Jamie with that. And that is a real thing. Like, that's a real thing that they could get into. And it's for a character that has not been quite developed for this show in terms of leg hair. And she's kind of reduced to a plot device. And even the marriage itself is reduced to a plot device to get the story going forward. Meaning, I got to get a divorce. Well, she wants 20 pounds and she wants 10 pounds a year. Oh, well, guess what? I know I have this treasure. I'll go get it. Shucks, I can't get it because I was just shot. Hey, young Wee Ian, go get the treasure. And then Wee Ian gets captured. And so we have the rest of the season because they're going to try to rescue Wee Ian. It just felt like it's just a plot device. And I feel bad for leg hair. And I'm only, I think the point of her being a plot device is only reiterated when Ned Gowan says, well, hell hath no fury like a woman's scorn. Like, oh, that's such a cliche. Like, don't do that. Give me something else other than that. Like, it's, I don't know. I'm not sure. I wasn't a big fan.
Well, you know what I'm a big fan of?
What's that?
Your outlandish theory of the week.
Want to let you know that this outlandish theory of the week is brought to you by Celtic Eternity. Please visit CelticEternity.com and get 10% off Celtic and Scottish rings with the coupon code OUTLANDERCAST, all one word. Please go get yourself a ring from Mike, the owner. He is amazing. He'll take care of you. My love, are you ready for this outlandish theory of the week?
I am. I feel really excited because now that you've stopped being able to watch trailers, which those of you who are new to this, if you don't watch next week's trailer, it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun because then it's a whole new world when you first watch it.
A whole new world.
No.
No.
Please don't.
Sorry, I forgot. Commandment number 5, only Mary can sing on this podcast.
You're tone deaf and I love it for it. Okay, so yes.
All right, the theory. So Ian has been taken away.
Yes.
Okay. He's been
on a boat.
He's on a boat
with his flippy floppies.
At Kinko's making copies, and I got a feeling that it was the
tonight's
guy.
Tonight's gonna be a good night.
It was the guy who burned down Jamie's print shop.
Luce Eye
guy with his boss. They're on that boat, guaranteed. And the reason why I know that is because they were tracking Jamie all the way back to the Brock, and they noticed that it was young Ian, that was going out there. Anyway, as a result of this, we have already established Wee Ian and Fergus as good friends. Now, what's Fergus up to right now?
Oh, you know, menage a trois.
So Fergus is going around here and there. Now, we all know that Fergus is part of the family, and he's going to go on an adventure with Claire and Jamie because that's Fergus, and he's going to want to go get Wee Ian because that's his buddy, and he's going to find out, and he wants to be part of this adventure coming up, right?
Okay.
Great. Jamie has to pay for this moment. Jamie has to pay for his decision for lying to Ian's parents and then sending this poor kid out.
Losing Ian. Worst babysitter ever, Jamie.
Going out.
This is not
swimming
Jamie's
in this
finest.
Water saying, oh yeah, if he doesn't go with the current, he's going to go to the new
the
world.
The worst point is the current.
Yeah, like, you yeah. Just have to. Oh, yeah, he'll just float away, you know, into the abyss.
Whatevs.
Not NBD. He has to pay for this.
Babysitter of the year.
And he has to pay for it because he's sending this kid off to get a treasure to pay for his divorce from leg hair.
Right.
Okay.
Just get a boat.
There has to be some. Why not? Why do we not have a boat?
Even an inner tube would have been better.
Anything other than just swimming that whole channel, whatever it was. Okay. That's a whole nother conference. That's a whole nother podcast. There has to be some kind of recourse for Jamie here. And you want to know what the recourse is?
Tell me.
Fergus is going to die by season's end. Because Fergus is Jamie's other son, the adopted son of Claire and Jamie, and Jamie has to pay for this. He has to pay for all the things that he's done. Because as I have said at the top of this episode and throughout it, the plot has demanded that we either look past Jamie's flaws or we forgive him for them because we're too busy going forward. We're too busy getting to the next point. We have to just go with it because he's the king of men. He's perfect. He always has the right thing to say. But there has to be some kind of recourse for Jamie. And that is Fergus is going to die by season's end trying to save Wee Ian. Somehow, some way. Fergus is going to pay the price and Jamie will be at fault for it. And that is my outlandish theory of the week. My darling, do I get an interesting?
Interesting.
Like interesting, like, wow, that's interesting. Or wow, that sucks. Interesting.
Interesting. That's all you're getting.
Charlie, what do you got for me?
Mock me.
Please hang up and try again.
I've got some final thoughts. I'm so excited.
What do you have for your final thoughts?
Okay, first off, where the hell did they get 3 horses? Okay? His print shop broke down. His, like, all of his worthy stuff was in there. Do you really have that much money to buy 3 horses? Where did you get them?
Can I say one thing before we continue? When Wicked Old Ian's like, A wee fire? You wouldn't be here if it was so wee.
Right?
I just thought that was so awesome.
So good.
And speaking of wee, by the way, why is it that every other kid in the Lally Brock house, all 201 of them, are known as wee Janet, wee Jamie, wee this? But the only kid that is not wee is young Ian.
I don't know.
Don't they know the commandment?
Seriously. What is going on?
Sorry, continue.
Okay. Why did Jamie decide to give the governor a sapphire? Where did he put it? In his mouth when he swam back? Why? Like, why was he like, I'm just going to take just one. I'm going to give to my buddy. What? Because he likes to play chess.
Okay. Just doesn't
Isn't that kind of weird? Like, just to throw in there and be like, there were all these beautiful things and there were all this stuff. And then I just took one sapphire to give to the governor of the jail. What? Okay, Jamie. And then, can someone do me a favor? Mm-hmm. And in these previous two seasons of Outlander, can someone screenshot some other redhead men? I don't really see them.
Valid point.
Fun. Let's find all the redheads that live in Scotland. Just fun. Okay, those are my final thoughts.
I want to throw
Where'd you get the horses? Where did you do that sapphire? Where did you put it? And where are these other redhead men?
I'm going to leave this one here for you. Consider this a sub-outlandish theory.
Oh, is yours serious? Because mine weren't.
No. I'm going to leave this one out here. Do with it what you will. If you don't like it, send it right back. Okay.
All right.
We all know that they have kind of retconned in this whole thing of gemstones being needed to travel through the stones.
Correct.
Jamie finds a big thing of stones in this treasure.
Mm.
I'm just going to throw that out there. I'm going to let it sit and I'm going to let it go to the ether and say it's in take development. Okay? This is in take development. I reserve the right to come back around when it best suits my argument.
Okay.
But just a giant chest full of stones. It may come back to play.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah. Cool. I like that.
My other final thought is, okay, we have gotten through Claire and Frank. We've now gotten through the reunion and what that portends for our title couple of James and Claire Fraser. Now I need to see where we're going from here. And now I need a clear villain. I need someone who is going to test our couple because we've already had our couple test each other. I need someone now to bring out the worst in our title couple. I need someone to affect them in ways that we, the viewers, don't expect and ways that make their strengths, Jamie and Claire, weaknesses. Just like how Blackjack Randall did for Jamie and Claire. Now, I'm not saying I need another BJR. I need someone who does somewhat that has the same effect on them. And I'm hoping we get to meet this person. And I'm hoping we don't get another Compt. I'm hoping we don't get another Duke of Sandringham. I'm hoping that we get somebody that is worthy of Jamie and Claire as an antagonist, not just a villain.
Okay.
And I need to see that soon because it has to propel the story forward. That's just my opinion. All right, my darling, are you ready to close out this excellent Emmy Award-winning Caldecott-nominated show?
Yes.
Okay, let's do it.
We want to thank all of you for being a listener of this show and want to remind you to tell your friends. Tell your friends who like Outlander about us. Do you know the best way that people learn about podcasts is by word of mouth? You
Correct.
Can also join the Outlander Cast Clan Gathering on Facebook and also the Outlander Cast Clan Book Club. I want to personally invite those of you who live in the Maryland area to a little meetup on this Saturday, November 11th. It's Veterans Day. So happy Veterans Day for those of you who are vets.
Hi-yo.
Those of you who are serving. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you for your service.
We're going to be doing a meetup at the Outlander Artifacts exhibit, and we're also going to have a little get together afterwards to nosh together. But we do want you to RSVP, so you can find that at the Outlander Cast podcast and blog Facebook page. We've got the official invite there.
And go to the newly redesigned OutlanderCast.com to check out our minute-by-minute recaps of the previous episodes by our stellar editor-in-chief, Ashley Crawley. She is amazing, and literally her recaps make me laugh out loud.
I totally agree.
Every single time. She's phenomenal.
If you're not a patron yet of OutlanderCast, I'm going to ask super nicely that you join, because Blake is going to be doing some reading while I'm in Maryland, and he's going to be reading Outlander, and he's going to be doing some Blake's book club chapters. And if you want to hear his take on the first book of the Outlander series, the only way you can do that is if you become a patron. You can do that at patreon.com/outlandercast. That's patreon.com/outlandercast.
And while you're there, all you need to do is just become a patron for as little as $2 per month. You get our episodes early, you get the Blake's Book Club entries, and there are, of course, other levels as we go along. And just as a reminder, our next goal is $1,600 per month. Once we get that, you guys get to decide what Mary and I's next podcast will be once Outlander Season 3 ends. We will podcast literally about any show or anything that you guys want. And we will have a vote for it once we get to that next level.
Want to give a big thanks to Peg, Anne, and Bobby, Lisa, Meredith, Amy, Christina, Sue, Keelan, Meredith, Liz, Dana, Nikki, Michelle, Tara, Jennifer, Lauren, Heather, and Marilyn. They are at a certain reward that we want to make sure we thank them on each episode, but all patrons are currently listed on the Outlander Cast website. You can find them there, and if you're a patron, you can find yourself, your name there. So excited. We got that up and working.
Just amazing. What?
Just amazing.
Just amazing. Sorry, I'm still reeling. I'm still reeling over this episode and how much I actually enjoyed it, despite the fact that we had a new writer.
Yeah,
I was worried. These new writers got me a little worried, I'm not gonna lie.
Okay.
Especially with the last one. We'll see.
I thought it was great. So thank you guys so much for tuning into Outlander Cast. Until next time, I'm Mary Larson.
My name's Blake,
and you've been listening to Outlander Cast.